Have your Bibles, you'll turn with me today to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. I feel like that all the music, all the singing has gone so well with the message the Lord has placed on our heart this morning. Especially I was glad they sang when we all get to heaven, since we'll be preaching about heaven. These are very familiar verses of Scripture found in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. We read them often. You hear them read often at funerals. You've heard them commented on so many times. But they're great words, and I'd like to use them for our Scripture lesson this morning. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I would like to read several verses of Scripture from the Living Bible translation. I'll begin reading with Philippians 3 and 20. "But our homeland is in heaven, where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, and we are looking for His return from there." But our homeland is in heaven, where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is, and we are looking for His return from there. Acts, the first chapter, verses 9 and 11 says, "It was not long afterwards that He arose into the sky and disappeared into a cloud, leaving them staring after Him. As they were straining their eyes for another glimpse, suddenly two white-robed men were standing there among them and said, 'Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring at the sky? Jesus has gone to heaven, and someday, just as He went, He will return.'" Colossians 3, 2 and 3 says, "Let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't spend your time worrying about things down here. You should have as little desire for this world as a dead man does. Your real life is in heaven with Christ and God." Hebrews, the 11th chapter, 13, verses 13 and 16, "These men of faith I have mentioned died without ever receiving all that God had promised them. But they saw it all awaiting them on ahead and were glad, for they agreed that earth was not their real home, but that they were just strangers visiting down here. And quite obviously, when they talked like that, they were looking forward to their real home in heaven. If they had wanted to, they could have gone back to the good things of the world. But they didn't want to. They were living for heaven. And now God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has made a heavenly city for them." Since last week I spoke to you on the subject of hell, and I spoke to you about that being the eternal abode of the lost. I gave you some description last week of that place. I told you that hell was a place of fire, that it was a place of darkness, a place of tears, that it was a place of torment, that it was a place of weeping and gnashing of the teeth. After preaching that message and having such a great response in the altar service, I felt impressed this past week to come back and speak to you this morning about heaven, the eternal abode of those that are saved with God. I've heard it said, and you have too, that sometimes Christians are so heavenly minded, they are no earthly good. Now, I don't believe, my friends, that that's our problem today. I don't believe our problem is that we are so heavenly minded. But I believe the problem of Christians in this 20th century is that we are too earthly minded. We are too in tune with this world. And what I want to say to you from the scripture that I read to you this morning is that God is saying to believers, we ought to be heavenly minded. Our thoughts ought to be on heaven. Glory. Heaven is our homeland. You believe that? Let heaven fill your thoughts, he said. Well, I read this statement some time ago that I feel like is applicable today. I read that the Jewish people had a very significant expression, and this was their expression. And so these Jews, wherever they were scattered, whatever their conditions, whatever their trials, whatever they were going through, they were encouraged to let Jerusalem come into their mind. And so, my friends, this was to be an encouragement to them. Whatever their conditions or wherever they are, if they were going through hard times or trials, they were exhorted, let Jerusalem come into your mind. And my friends, that's the way it is with believers. No matter what kind of conditions we may be going through, no matter where we are, no matter what our circumstances are, we are to be encouraged and inspired by letting heaven come into our mind. We need to do that often, don't we? Jesus wanted this same thing to take place in the lives of the disciples. As he spent his last night on earth with them, while they were in an upper room, he began to minister to them. And he said a number of things. And as he sat around that table with his disciples on that last evening before he was crucified, he looked into their faces and he saw that they were filled with anxiety. He knew what was in their hearts and their minds. He knew that they were disturbed and upset. For he had been talking to them and ministering to them about one of them betraying him. And as they sat at the table and Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me, the Bible said they began to look at one another and try to decide which one it would be. Can you imagine the scene around that table that night as Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me? And all of a sudden they began to look at one another to try to figure out which one it was that was going to betray him. Well, Peter, like he was always doing, speaking up, looked over at John, who was leaning against the breast of Jesus or sitting next to him, said to John, John, ask him who it is that is going to betray him. John asked the question, and Jesus took a piece of bread, and he said, whoever takes this bread from my hand, whoever I give this bread to after I have dipped it in the dish, the same is the one that would betray me. So he took that piece of bread, dipped it in the dish, and gave it to Judas. And the Bible said as soon as Judas took that bread, Satan entered into him, and he walked out of that place and walked into the night. Well, the disciples still did not understand the significance of it. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying to Judas. In fact, they say that they thought that he was saying to Judas, go buy something for the feast or go take care of the poor. They didn't understand it. All they knew that they were troubled because there was a traitor in the inner circle. Somebody that would betray them. Not only that, they were troubled over the fact that Jesus said around this same table, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be separated from you. I'm going away from you. And where I'm going, you cannot come. And one of the disciples, Peter, said, "Well, where are you going?" And he said, "Where I go now, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me later." Peter spoke up and said, "I'll follow you wherever you go, even if it costs you my life." So they were disturbed. And then Jesus said, "Peter, you'll deny me 3 times before the rooster crows." So you can imagine what a dismal, disappointed, heartbreaking scene it was around that table. How fearful they were, because they thought about Jesus leaving them. They knew they would face death. They knew that he faced death. So fear and trouble and agitation and turmoil filled their heart. And it was in this kind of setting, this kind of scene, that Jesus looked at them and spoke these words: "Let not your heart be troubled." Can you imagine that? They had a lot to be faced with. A lot of things were bothering them, in spite of the fact that Jesus was going to leave them, in spite of the fact there was a traitor among them, in spite of the fact that they were going to face death, in spite of the fact that he had just said to Peter, "You're going to deny me." In spite of all these things, Jesus was saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." And I want to tell you something this morning. There's been a lot of things going on in the last few weeks that's caused my heart to be troubled. I've been grieved and you've been grieved. I've been hurt and you've been hurt. But I want to tell you, in the midst of everything that we are seeing, everything that we are hearing, and everything that we're reading, I believe his message to us is, let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah to God. I want you to know, he said to those disciples, and I want you to know, as you read those words, you ought to pick up on this. He said, "Let not, let not." In other words, you can either let it happen or let it not happen. These disciples had the power to deal with the trouble that they were in. They held in their hands the key to the release from their heart trouble. And here's the remedy, my friends. Let not your heart be troubled. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what you're going on, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah. The remedy for a troubled heart is faith in God. Isn't that glorious? He said, no matter what happens, you believe in God. Believe in God's power. Believe in God's presence. Believe in God's promises. Believe in God's faithfulness. I want to tell you what's going to carry us through this world is faith in God. Amen. Glory. So I want to say to all of you, have a troubled heart this morning. Believe in God. Would you do that? Glory. So only, my friends, we must keep believing that God is in charge and God's in control. So he said to these men, let not your heart be troubled. Let it not. Now, if you've got a troubled heart this morning, I want you to know, I want to tell you how you can get rid of it, how you can get victory over it. You can get it through the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in God and believing in him. And he went further, my friends, and spoke to them. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house, there's a lot of places to live. Glory. And then he spoke to them about heaven. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Our home. You know, when I think of Waycross, Georgia, I think of home. It'll always be home to me. I don't care where I go, where I live. When I think of Waycross, I think of home. Even though I have not lived there for years and years and years. In fact, I've lived everywhere else far longer than I ever lived in Waycross, Georgia. But there's something about that. Just saying Waycross, I automatically say home. Well, I want you to know, when you talk about heaven, I think about home. And you say, praise the Lord. I mean, just start talking about heaven and then I get to thinking about home. Woo! Glory to God. I'm on my way. My homeland is in heaven. How about yours? Glory. Let heaven fill your thoughts, he says. I want to talk to you just a brief few moments this morning about heaven. And I hope before I'm through preaching that you feel like I feel singing when we all get to heaven. I believe we could sing it again and sing it with more enthusiasm. Now stay with me. I wrote some things down that I'm going to have to share with you, and I want to share with them in the right way. I want you to know what kind. I talked to you about what kind of place hell was last week. I want to talk to you this morning about what kind of place heaven is. First of all, I want you to know heaven is a prepared place. Glory. It is a well-planned place. It is planned and prepared by none other than God. When I look at this earth and I look at what God has created, hallelujah, and I look at the beauties, when I looked at the sun setting one day this week, and I look at what God has done here on this earth, when I look at nature, when I look at the sun and the stars and the moon, when I look at the trees, when I look at the birds, when I look at what God has created here in this world, it gets me excited when I know the best is yet to come. I know that heaven is going to be a great place because God has prepared it. Amen. Glory. Thank God. I'm so glad that I believe, my friends, that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You know what? Jesus came from heaven to earth to prepare me for heaven. And then he said, I'm going back to heaven and prepare heaven for you. Glory. Isn't that glorious? He come to get me ready for heaven, and now he's gone back to heaven getting heaven ready for me. Glory to God. He said, I have gone back. I've come here and told you how to get there. He said, I am the way. If I'm not the way, there is no way. If I'm not the way, there is no going. And then he says, I am the truth. And if I'm not the truth, there is no knowing. And I am the life. And if I am not the life, then there is no living. I thank God. Not only did he come to prepare us for heaven, but he's in heaven preparing it for us. Glory. And if I know anybody I'd like to prepare for me, would be him. Wouldn't you? You know, we get visitors, and they call us and say, we're coming. And then we try to get busy preparing for their arrival, for their visit. We try to buy extra groceries. Mary Lou tries to get the house all cleaned up and everything looking so lovely and so kind. And it don't always look that way when they leave. But I want to tell you something. Just as anxious as she is getting everything ready for him, I want you to know, thank God, Jesus is getting heaven for my visit. Heaven ready for my visit. Amen. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Glory. Smile. You're going to heaven. Glory. I want to tell you something else about heaven. Thank God it's a place of perfect beauty. Now you women, you like your pearls and your diamonds and your gold rings, and some men too. I just won't say women. I won't be partial. You like pretty things. You like beautiful things. Well, I want you to know where I'm going. The Bible said the gates are pearl. And it said the walls are jasper. They say that's like diamonds. Amen. They say the streets are gold. Glory to God. They say there is a river of light running through the midst of that city that is clear as crystal. Don't look like the Red River. Glory to God. They tell me that beside that tree, that river, there is a tree of life that bears 12 crops of fruit, and it brings its fruit every month. Glory to God. I want you to know it says there's a city that has 12 foundations. Oh, I'm going to get loose here if you'll pray for me. Amen. 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 And said each one of those foundations is made out of a precious jewel. I want you to know heaven is not only a prepared place. Thank God. You say, Brother Jack, you're acting a little fanatical. That's all right. I'm going to heaven. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to know how beautiful
miracle heaven must be. I want you to know, heaven is not only a prepared place, it's a beautiful place. Amen. Tell you something else about heaven. It's a place where there is perfect rest. Oh, there is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. I thank God for the rest we can have here. But oh, I want you to tell you, there is a place of perfect rest and perfect service in heaven. Then, my friends, the Bible says there will be no night there. Glory to God. There is no darkness in heaven. There is no light in hell. It's all darkness in hell. It's all light in heaven. You know why there is no light and no darkness there? Because it says the glory of God shall light that place, and the Lamb shall be the lamp. Ooh, glory to God. I want you to know there'll be no night there because of the glory of God and the light of the Lamb. There said there'll be no more sea there, no sun. Then, my friends, the Bible said there'll be no tears in heaven. This is a land of tears. This is a world of tears. Sometimes we have to cry, and we cry over sin. I want you to know I have prayed and I have cried and I have shed tears by the bucket loads for sin. I've cried over the old people. I've cried over the young people. The last 2 weeks I've shed tears over what sin can do. But I want you to know there are no tears in heaven. We won't cry over sin. I've sat in front of my TV and wept tears over those little kids in India and Africa that were starving to death in the flies. Fly all over their faces, eating up with sores and dying by the thousands. I've literally wept with compassion over the poverty of this world. We'll not cry over poverty. We'll not cry over sin. We'll not cry over sickness. We'll not cry over divorce. We'll not cry over separation. We'll not cry over guilt. We'll not cry over fear. We'll not cry over pain. Because the Bible says, God shall wipe away all tears. You believe that? Say amen. Oh, glory to God. I want to tell you this morning, if you can't get excited about this, you need to pray through. Amen. Glory. Well, just as burdened as I was last Sunday preaching on hell, I thought my heart would break and I'd crush. I'm happy this morning. Glory. Thank God. No tears. You think about it, friends. No tears. A land of no tears. Then, my friends, heaven is a place where there's some things we'll never hear. Glory. Walking away from General Hospital this past Friday, an ambulance came boring in with the sirens blasting. I saw that ambulance and knew they were rushing somebody to the emergency room. I want you to know, I'll never hear the sound of a siren in heaven. There'll never be a tornado warning. Whew. Glory to God. I'm so glad there'll be no sirens. I'll never hear a siren in heaven. I'll never hear a vacuum cleaner. Glory to God. I hear one up and down these halls constantly. As Steve vacuums a hall, I hear them. There'll be no vacuum cleaner there. Sound of vacuum cleaner. There'll be no gunshot there. There'll be no plane crash or car wreck. I'll never hear a scream. I'll never hear the blast of a bomb. I'll never hear the sound of a tornado. I'll never hear the cry of a hungry child. There'll be no noise pollution in heaven. There'll be no gossip in heaven. There'll be no criticism in heaven. There'll be no complaining in heaven. There'll be no cursing in heaven. I want you to know there's some things that I hear here every day that thank God I will never hear again in heaven. I'll never hear a sarcastic newscaster blaspheme Christianity and make little of the church. I won't hear where somebody fell from grace or somebody turned their back on God. I want you to know there's some things we'll never hear in heaven. Can you say praise the Lord for that? They'll never call me up on the phone. Hallelujah to God. Oh, praise God. I'll never hear anybody complain and nobody criticize. Nobody tell me I'm too loud or that I'm too ignorant. Nobody to tell me I don't look good or look bad. Hallelujah. It'll all be over. Can you say praise the Lord? Glory. Well, if you're not enjoying this, I am. Glory. 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 You just listen to what you hear sometimes. And then get to thinking about you won't ever hear it again. Oh, glory. Not one curse word. Not one smutty joke. Not one lie. Glory to God. Glory. But what I will hear in heaven will be some of the most glorious singing. I'll hear them praise God. Oh, the 24 elders, thank God. Those four beasts, amen, thank God, worshiping around the throne. I'll hear the angels singing. Oh, whatever we hear in heaven, I'll hear the voice of God. I'll hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a glorious thing, thank God, of thinking what I'm going to hear. Then, my friends, there's not only in heaven things that I won't hear, but there are also things in heaven that I'll never see. Thank God. Here's some things I'll never see in hospital. In heaven, I'll never see a hospital. I'll never see a funeral home. I'll never see a jail. I'll never see a slum. I'll never see a ghetto. I'll never see a cemetery. I'll never see a polluted river. I'll never see a wasteland. I'll never see a bank. I'll never see a church. Hallelujah to God. I'll never see a playground there like we have here. But oh, my friends, you'll never see a liquor store there. Oh, all you'll see is something beautiful. Thank God. There'll be things that we'll never see in heaven. You believe that? Things we'll never hear. Things we'll never see. Then, my friends, not only in heaven there'll be things we'll never hear and never see, but there'll be things we'll never smell in heaven. Glory. You'll never have to hold your nose in heaven. You'll never smell a skunk. Isn't that glorious? Amen. You'll never smell anything that stinks in heaven. Isn't that glorious? You say, that's so childish. That's all right. Thank God. I just want to go where you won't smell anything bad. You'll never smell the corruption of a corpse. You'll never smell a hospital smell. You walk down the hospital corridor so many times and walking through the corridors, you smell sickness and death and medicines. And in heaven, you'll never smell those things. Thank God. The only thing we'll smell in heaven will have sweet aroma. You see, I believe that we're going to be able to see in heaven. I believe we're going to be able to hear in heaven. I believe we're going to be able to smell in heaven. You believe that? Glory. Just like they do in hell. I believe it. Won't that be glorious? Thank God. Some of this perfume some ladies wear just knocks me off my feet. We won't have to worry about that when we get to heaven. No deodorant there. Amen. You'll never smell cigarette smoke. You'll never smell liquor breath. You'll never smell drugs. Amen. Glory. Can you say praise the Lord? Nobody will have bad breath there. Glory. Glory. I'm just telling you, heaven's a real place. Glory. I want to tell you something else. There's not only some things you'll never hear, some things you'll never smell, some things you'll never see in heaven, but there's some things you'll never taste in heaven. You'll never taste anything distasteful. Glory to God. Isn't that glorious? Nothing distasteful in heaven. Not only that, my friends, but when you get to heaven, you'll never feel anything that will be bad. You know what it is to feel sick on the pit of your stomach? How many of you know that? How many of you know what it is to feel pain and sorrow and grief? And you know what it is to feel like you're just going to be crushed on the inside. You can't stand it. You can't take it. Brother, we'll never feel anything bad in heaven. Isn't that glorious? Oh, somebody the other day called me up and said, I want to tell you something. And the way they said it, all of a sudden I felt like it just felt something fall all over me. I felt such an eerie feeling. I felt like, oh no, I don't want to hear anything bad. It made me feel so bad. And yet I thank God this morning, when we get to heaven, we'll never feel anything bad. We'll never feel anything repulsive. We'll never feel sorrow there. We'll never feel grief there. We'll never feel heartbreak there. We'll never be heartbroken there. Can you say praise the Lord? Then, my friends, heaven is a place. Heaven is a place where all you see is good. All you hear is good. All you taste is good. All you smell is good. All you feel is good. And thank God I wrote this down and this blessed me. All we know will be good. All we know will be good. How do you like to go to some place where everything you know is good? How many of you heard any bad things this past week? Well, where have you been? Tell me the truth. How many of you heard some bad news this week? Well, brother, don't it thrill you to be at a place where everything you hear will be good? Everything you hear will be good. I wrote these words down. We are going to know everything we need to know about what we need to know. We're going to know everything we need to know about what we need to know. We don't have to know about the law in heaven. Isn't that glory? I've got so sick of hearing preachers on TV said, well, I got to talk to my lawyer. I've heard more of that this last. I tell you, the Bible said we don't supposed to go to law with one another. You ever read that in the Bible? And said, well, and then I hear somebody say, well, I got to, my source says. And my lawyer tells me I ought not say this. And my lawyer, this, that, and the other. I'm so glad, thank God, when we get to heaven, we won't have to know about law. Isn't that glorious? I want to tell you something else about heaven. We won't have to know about medicine. Won't that be glorious? And we won't have to know about pollution. Won't that be glorious? We won't have to know about military power, military things. We won't have to know about warfare. We won't have to know about math. We won't have to know about biology. We won't have to know about languages. Hallelujah. We won't have to know about doctrine. Oh, won't that be glorious? Hallelujah. We won't have to know a lot of things that we think we need to know here. We'll just know what we need to know. Well, what kind of people go to heaven? Well, I tell you, friends, good people go to heaven. Spirit-filled people go to heaven. Sweet, happy people are in heaven. The Revelations 21 and 27, I believe, says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth. No, glory. Nothing that defiles it. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And Galatians 5:19 and 21 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkards, revelings, and such like. Of this which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They'll never be in heaven. I want you to know the place of heaven is not only a beautiful place, but it's filled with beautiful people. Glory. There'll be no blind people in heaven. There'll be no lame people in heaven. Isn't that glorious? There'll be no people in heaven that are struggling with poverty. There'll be, my friends, no cliques in heaven. There won't matter what race you belong to in heaven, thank God. I want you to know, my friends, can you imagine going to a place where everybody, everything that is said and done is just all right? How many of you are on your way to heaven this morning? How many of you are glad you're on your way to heaven? How do you get there? How do you get to heaven? Well, you can't buy yourself there. Money won't get you there. You can get there whether you're rich or whether you're poor. You can't get there by being religious. If you get there, you have to get there through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way. Some people said, you folks are so narrow. You preach there's just one way to heaven. Well, I believe the Bible. It reminds me, my friends, of the lady that was in the post office early one morning getting her mail, and she saw the preacher standing over there, and she knew that preacher was a fundamentalist, Bible-believing, evangelical preacher who preached that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. She knew that.
So she decided she would go up there and try to a trick and trap that preacher. And she said, "Say, preacher, we're all here in the post office." And he said, "You see that man over there? He came down Elm Street to get here. And you see that lady over there? She came down Sunset Boulevard to get here. And I came down Oak Street to get here. And you came another direction. Don't you see, preacher, we all came from different directions, but we got to the same place." The preacher said, "There's only thing wrong with that. When we die, we're not going to the post office." Amen. We're going to heaven. And you're not going to come the Baptist route or the Methodist route, the Lutheran route, Church of Christ route. If you get there, you're going to get there through Jesus. Amen. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And you know, the telephone company is so narrow. Excuse me, Brother David. I mean, they're narrow. You ever notice how narrow they are? You know, I just can't go up there and pick up that phone, just put, and just get any number. They want me to use a certain serial of numbers with a proper sequence. If you call my house, you got to call 692-7202. You can't go over there and say, pop, 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 pop. There's no telling who would get the phone. Telephone company's narrow. But they just want you to know there's certain numbers you've got to punch if you want to get who you're calling. And I want to tell you this morning, if you get to heaven, you just got to go a certain way. A certain route. If that makes me narrow, I'm narrow. Hallelujah to God. Friends, be like the little boy whose daddy had climbed up a ladder to a high place, top of a garage or a roof of his house. And as he was standing there, his young son stood on the ground and said, "Daddy, I want to come up there where you are." And the daddy said, "Okay, son, come on." And so the little boy started climbing the ladder. And all of a sudden, he climbed and he froze and he started to look down and he got frightened. And as he looked down, he couldn't go anywhere. And finally, his daddy said, "Son, don't look down. Just keep looking up at me and keep climbing." And the little boy turned his eyes and looked up at his father. And he kept looking down and kept climbing, and he got to where his father was. The message is this, friends. Quit looking down. Look toward him and keep climbing. Keep climbing, and we'll go to heaven. Will you stand? Glory to God. Amen. Praise Him. Well, do you love Him this morning? How many of you are excited about going to heaven? Now, if you think I got excited this morning, you ought to have heard me shouting earlier this morning. Amen. Power of God fell on me as I was reading this, and I began to shout and praise God as I began to think about my homeland. And oh, I want you to know, God bless me real good. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Wonder if there's anybody here this morning that you're not ready for heaven. You're not going to heaven. I'm going to sing a verse of an invitational song. And I don't want to beg you. Because if you don't want to go to this place, friends, something's wrong with you. I mean, if I was invited to go, I don't believe you'd have to beg me to go to some place like this. I'm not begging you, friends, to go to hell. I'm begging you to go to heaven. To a real place. Brother Johnny, let's sing When We All Get to Heaven Again. Amen. And I'm going to give an invitation. If anybody's here lost without God, you're backslid, you're unsaved, I want to tell you Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I want everybody to stay with me because I haven't dismissed yet. And I want to give those people an opportunity to come. Now, I want you to know what I've said about heaven is just a little bit about what it's going to like. But there is a heaven. There is a heaven. And I'm glad, thank God, I'm going there. Some things I'll not see there. Some things I'll not hear there. Some things I'll not smell there. Some things I'll not taste there. Some things I'll not feel there. Some things I won't need to know, but I'll know everything I need to know. Heaven, friends. Our homeland is in heaven. Said, "Why are you standing here gazing, straining your eyes? I've been just like him. How about I watch Jesus? I've been just like him. Eyes as hard as I could to get the last glimpse of him. Look as he went up to heaven." And those two angels said, "Don't be straining your eyes so much." Said, "That same Jesus that you saw go into heaven is going to come from there again." You believe that? Amen. Let heaven fill your thoughts
Let heaven come to your mind.
Why we sing this now? If you're not ready for heaven, you're not going there. I wouldn't wait. I'd get checked in right now.
I mean, I'd come right on and say, I want to be in that load that goes. Amen. Come on, as we sing, thank God.
In the wondrous love of Jesus.
Come on. We're inviting you to go to heaven. Do you need to be saved? Do you need to get right with God? Go with a happy people. Come on. Out there really on the way to heaven this morning, raise your hand. Well, I would to God you'd smile a little bit. Tell me, would you do that? Glory. Brother George, I believe I could have gotten loose somebody's scotch for me this morning. I get talking about heaven. Amen. It gets to running up and down my backbone. Amen. I'm going to open the doors of the church. There are some people that have wanted to unite with the church, turn in their cards, and whether you have or not, and you want to make this your church home, we'll give you that opportunity to come this morning as we sing the second verse of this great song. Amen.
Glory to God. While we walk the river,
y'all just tell me your name as we go down the road. Amen. Aren't we glad to have these people going to heaven with us? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah to God. Glory. There's an old song we used to sing. I am bound for the promised land. Can we sing that? Amen. Glory.
I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. I'm going to go, baby. I'm bound for the
Are you going there, sir?
Oh, I am bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land.
Johnny's going to lead us in something to dismiss us with. And it could be I feel like traveling on, but it's a good one to me. Just keep climbing. Amen. Keep your eyes on him. Don't look down. Keep climbing. You make it. Come by and greet these people and welcome into the church family. I want the house to be full tonight. We've got a great speaker, and I'll be looking for you back.
And I feel like traveling on.